Welcome to the dynamic teaching of Pastor Nife Ibiemi, Lead Pastor of Love Dominion Assembly International. It is his vision to unveil the culture of Zion through the word and discipleship. Ready, set, grow.
There's no power like the power of Jesus. The name of Jesus is full of power, is loaded. There is no name above all heavens, in heavens, in earth, and under the earth that is as strong and as powerful than the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, there is salvation. Hallelujah. You know what? We're praying. I have an injunction in my spirit, a nudge in my spirit, to tell someone that whatever you are going through, God is coming for you in this season. In the name of Jesus, God is coming true for you. In the name of Jesus, I speak by the power of the Almighty God that whatever you might be going through in this season, only you know your tears. God is coming true for you in this season. There will be breakthrough. There will be deliverance. There will be salvation in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I have that strong impression in my spirit. Very strong. The power of Jesus is in our midst this morning. Hallelujah. Setting free, setting loose, delivering, breaking men free from every oppression. Hallelujah. Whatever the oppression may be, I speak to it now that be free from it in the name of Jesus. Be free from it in the name of Jesus. Whatever the oppression may be, coming from any unclean spirit, so I command such unclean spirit to leave your territory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Philippians 2. Amen. Philippians 2. Praise God. Today's meeting is a good meeting. It's an appointed meeting. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2, look at it. It says in verse Philippians, sorry. Yeah, thank you. Philippians 2. We read verse 7. Amen. But made himself of no reputation. So let's start reading from verse 6. I like reading it long. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Hallelujah. And took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Hallelujah. Somebody say, above every name. Bible says God has given him a name that is above every name. Praise God. At what point did God give him that name? God gave him that name after he had humbled himself. Amen. He humbled himself to death, even to the death of the cross. So God exalted him, seeing his humility, and gave him a name. You know, I was saying to us that the name of Jesus is not in the sound, is not in the syllable. Praise God. The name of Jesus is not a sound. It's not just Jesus. It's more than that. Before Jesus was given the name, people had been bearing the name of Jesus. In fact, Joshua, the name Joshua, are we together, everybody? The name Joshua is a Hebrew tongue for Jesus. Yeshua, in fact, some texts will write Joshua as Jesus. So the name Joshua is the same thing as Jesus. In fact, if you come to my dialect, my country, and my kingdom, okay? When I mean my kingdom, I'm talking about the Oduduwa kingdom, praise God, or the Yoruba, empire, or whatever you put it. We call Jesu, amen. So Jesu, Georgia, we say Iosus. Praise God. So, you know, different countries, different places have different way of calling Jesus. So which one of the syllables and the spelling do demons, obey? Amen. So demons don't obey the syllable and the sound or the spelling. Jesus, Jesus. No. The power is not in the spelling. The name of Jesus is not a sound. No, the Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower and the righteous runs into it. So it tells you that the name is a tower. So the name, a name that you can run into. Amen. So it's not just some syllable. He said the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and he is saved. Hallelujah. So Jesus had been bearing the name Jesus when they gave birth to him. They gave birth to him and they named him Jesus prophetically that he's going to save his people from sin. So, but he grew up as human. He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. At that point, God gave him a name. So there is a name in the name of Jesus. We are talking about the potency, the power in that name. Look at it again. Philippians 2, hallelujah. If you're there, say Jesus is Lord. So look at it again. He said, wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. To the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. He has given us the name of Jesus. You have the name of Jesus. Say, I've got the name of Jesus. He said, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. He said, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. I call that extended authority. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus, extended authority. Extended authority in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Even in hell. Glory to God. Yeah. Even in hell, the name of Jesus is potent. And that's what you have. Say, I've got the name of Jesus. Remember what we said, what we read in Ephesians. Ephesians 1. Let's go there. Ephesians 1. Don't forget, he said he has given us a name that is above every name. He gave Jesus the name. Look at it, Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, verse 20. He said, he was speaking about the power which God wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him where? At his own right hand in heavenly places. Far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come. Look at that again. Look at it. Let's look at that again. Look at it again in from verse, hallelujah. Let's do from verse 19. He said, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us what which believe, according to the working of his mighty power? Oh, he said, which he wrought in Christ Jesus, when he raised him from the dead. So there is a power that God wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. He said, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. So you have to understand this by the concept of right hand. It's not as if, oh, there is God and there is Jesus, right hand, and there is Holy Spirit on the left hand. No. But the concept of right hand simply means power. It's simply, that's the right hand means the name of Jesus. Or Jesus, the authority of the Son of the of the Son of God, okay, you know, signifies power. Amen. So God has raised him and set him at his own right hand, where? Far above principality and power. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. Not only in this world. So he didn't say he will raise him. He didn't say he will raise him. He didn't say he will put him at his own right hand. No, he said he has. He has raised him, he has placed him, set him at his own right hand, far above principality and power. He has given Jesus that name. He gave him the name. Look at what Peter said in Acts. Just do that together. Acts 4. Praise God. Amen. Act 3. Are you there? Act 3:6. I have not started the message. I just, you know, I'm just led by the Spirit to go this direction. Look at it. He said, then Peter said unto that man, the man was lamed, okay? Look at what Peter said. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none. So it's possible that, John asked, praise God. Are we together here? So, but for him, at that point, okay, probably he's not with it. Or probably that's not what the man would need. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So he says something. He says, such as I have. This is what I always have. Praise God. Are we together here? So he says this. He says, silver and gold I don't have, but there is one thing that I will always have. Such as I have, I give unto you. You have the name of Jesus. Say, I've got the name of Jesus. You have the name of Jesus. It's your possession. The name of Jesus is your inheritance in Christ. It is our inheritance in Christ. We have the name of Jesus. And that name of Jesus that you have, it is far above principalities and power. Every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. That's why we started singing the song. There's no power as that. There's no name or the power as the power of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay. We just want to establish that. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians. Amen. Amen. I am more than a conqueror. So we've been looking for days now at the Accuser series on Satan. You know, Satan. Who is Satan? You know, we have done, by God's grace, we have done quite some, you know, we have gone a long way regarding who Satan is. Amen. The thing is this, okay? At this point, I want to believe that I'm, you know, cautioned by the Spirit not to proceed further into certain things. Amen. So, but what we have, amen, is good. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. It's absolute enough. You know why? Because this is it. Whichever way you classify Satan, one thing is certain. One thing you must know deep within you as a believer is that you have an authority over Satan. In fact, that is the reason why we are doing the teaching. We are doing the teaching to demystify the concept of Satan as some exalted being. No. Satan is not some exalted being. So it's not as if, okay, we are doing Satan for the sake of doing Satan series. We are doing Satan series so that we can see our place in Christ. Are we together here? Yes, sir. So we have tried enough altogether to see that Satan is a murderer, is a liar, is a beguiler, a deceiver. Satan deceives. Amen. Satan deceives. From the beginning of time, Satan had been deceiving man from the truth of Christ. Hallelujah. Are we together here? Yeah. Satan has been deceiving. I know we were saying something earlier. I think, I don't know if I discussed that in church. I said it's very important that Genesis chapter 1, if you read Genesis 1 clearly, you would see that Genesis 1 is a perfect expression of the Spirit. In Genesis 1, you see the Bible says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Are we together, everybody? Yes, there was darkness. The earth was without form and void, and there was darkness. And the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the surface of the deep. Okay? And God said, let there be light. Then after that time, the Bible says God began to create this, let the earth breathe forth, let this. And the Bible says on the sixth day, the Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our image, okay, after our likeness. Are we together, everybody? I'm rushing, I'm going somewhere. God said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. And God said, let them have dominion. So over the works of my hand, over this, over that. And the Bible says, it was so. Are we together? It was so. Is that not what it says? I'm not going there for a reason, okay? I'm not going there because I want to go some other places. It was so. But we now saw in Genesis 2, it now look as if what just happened in Genesis 1 was different. That's what I'm saying. What was in Genesis 1 is the perfect will of God. That man would have dominion And how will man have dominion? Man will have dominion as he's been created in the image of God. And who is the image of God? Jesus is the image of God. The image of God is not two eyes, one nose, or two, you know, whatever mouth, or whatever. No, that is not the image of God. The image of God is a person, and that is Jesus. Hebrews 1:3, he said Jesus Christ is the express image of his person. The Bible says in Colossians 1:17, the Bible said, down, he said, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. And we looked at the fact that the first time that angels saw God was in the manger. Are we together, everybody? So the first time, so this is very important. You have to understand this. The angels are not seeing God every day. They don't know. That's why you cannot fathom the concept that an angel will want to think, or some spirit will want to think of enthroning themselves above God. It does not exist. Are we together? Yeah. No, you have to understand that. It does not exist. It does not. It's just like saying my cat. I didn't create the cat, so I can't even say that. It's just like saying, for example, I don't know how to put it. Okay, yeah. If you have watched all those movies, okay, maybe that's possible, you know, in the movies where, you know, AIs and robots try to, you know, dominate man. All right, because man created those robots and that one. Maybe that's. But really, 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 nobody knows where the throne of God is. Are we together, everybody? You don't know where the throne of God is. For I'm doing something, I'm summarizing some of the things that we have touched in the past few weeks. Are we together, everybody? It is so simple. If you want to enthrone the government, okay, no, let me say, because I don't know, maybe. If you want to remove, you want to enthrone a government, amen. For example, Nigerian government, okay, you have had several coups. And the reason why coups are possible, okay, is because people know where the presidents are, and they can come together, plan, and shoot the president, kill people, and put camera in front and declare, we dissolve this, and now we put military, you know, governors and everywhere, okay? But for God, you don't know where his throne is. So because you don't know where his throne is, I mean, typically, all right, you can't find him. No created being. The first time that angel saw God was in the manger. 1 Timothy 3:16. Put it up. I'm just doing a summary for a reason so that we can all follow. 1 Timothy 3:16. He says, look at it. He said, without controversy, he said, great is the mystery of godliness. He said, so he put colon. So he explaining what is the mystery. So when you hear mystery, it means something. There's an hidden truth. He said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. What is the godliness? That God would come in the flesh. So that is some of the things that staggers the sense knowledge rude man. That is staggers them. That God, a spirit being, would come and become flesh. And that's why the apostle said, he said, if anyone would say that God did not come in the flesh, that's the spirit of Antichrist. So anyone who does not acknowledge that God came in the flesh, he said, that is Antichrist at work. He said, but this is the mystery of godliness. What is it? He said that God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels. Okay? And preached unto the Gentiles, believe God in the word and receive up unto glory. So the first time angels who saw him, he said, it's a mystery of godliness. That angels, and that's why when they gave birth to Jesus, that was the first time they came to the manger to see their maker, their creator, right there in the hand of Mary and Joseph, to see the person who made them. Are we together? Yeah. So they saw, and that's why the Bible says, myriads of angels. He said, myriad. You know what I'm trying to say here. Millions times millions, they came there to see Jesus, to see their maker. Are we together here? So, and that's very important. So we are that God came in the flesh is a mystery. So you cannot imagine any of the creation, okay, to say they want to exalt themselves above the person who created them. So the easiest target for Satan is the creation of God, which God had, you know, designed to rule over all his work, which is man. Are we together here? So man became his target. Man became the target of Satan. So for example, God put Adam and Eve in the garden. Who came for Adam and Eve? Satan. So he came to the enthroned thing, okay, because he knows where man is, so he can see man. He would come to man to get authority for man so that he can rule man. So that one, he succeeded in that. Are we together, everybody? And that's why he became the God of this world. So I met last week, I mentioned something about 2 Corinthians chapter 3, that well, the God of this world, okay, could be, amen, I'm using the word could be the law. But see, listen up, he's not the God of this world, but the God of this particular world. Listen up, okay. Anytime you see the word world in the Bible, it's not necessarily, it's not literally talking about cosmos alone. It talks about aeon, which is system. So look at, let's go to 2 Corinthians. We're going somewhere. 2 Corinthians. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3. Are you there? 2 Corinthians 3, we're going to read together. Everybody, you have to follow. Is see, this is, the Bible is written in English. I remember one day, I told us, I was when I was serving in Port Harcourt, and I had some, you know, contention between a sister. We were in the bus, in the, you know, the bus together, and we were contending, and we were looking at scriptures together, and she was twisting the scripture. I said, and she's a medical doctor. I was surprised. I said, why would you be twisting scripture like this? The scripture is saying this. Don't twist it. It says what it says. He said, what if it's meaning? It does not mean. Would you have read anatomy book? If you had read anatomy book or physiology book, the same way you are reading Bible and twisting it and thinking maybe it's meaning, because you are trying to find a revelation, something deep. So in trying to find something deep, you are now saying, oh, this thing is meaning. No, it's not meaning. Just read it. What does it mean? John 3:16. What does it mean? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's what he says. Don't add to it. He didn't say, whosoever believe in him and stop. Whosoever believe in him. No, no. The way he has said it, let us put it the way he has said it. Are you going to try to say, yeah? Now, listen up. Mr. Pastor, are you not saying we should not stop? No. That's not what I'm saying. This is what I'm trying to say. For example, when you tell people to leave their sin, I was talking about, when you tell them, drop your sin and come to Jesus, that I don't need Jesus because I can easily drop my sin. I don't need a savior when I can save myself. So the reason why I need to come to Jesus is because I cannot save myself. I have tried my best. If they took me to the law, I tried myself 1 week, I go clean. 1 week, clean? It's not possible. That I just lie there. Satan at work. Now, but I'm not at work, means. Okay, praise Satan is not at work. The Spirit of God is at work. I'm just saying that. I'm just mocking that statement. The concept is this. It's not possible for you to stay clean. So he says this. So you leave your sin. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and of every laden. He said, come unto me. I will give you. Hallelujah. He's the one who is giving it. Hey, what a man. He said, come unto me, all you that labor, and you have heavy laden, laden of sin, laden of guilt. Just come. Come unto me. Don't stop people. That's what Jesus told them about the bad leaders. He said they stop people from entering. They prevent people from entering. Bad leaders, thief, robbers. The thief coming number for to steal, to kill, and destroy. Those are the robbers, thieves. They stop people from coming in through the right door. Put so much burden. You remember what Peter said in Acts 15? Peter said, he said, let us not give so much burden on these people. Okay. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So, of course, you come as you are, but you are not going to live the same way you came. Yes. Amen. You are not living the same way you came. You are coming as you are. The power of God will hit you. Changing you from within out. Are we clear that? Yeah. Removing the burden, breaking the shackles. That's what Jesus does. People would come to Jesus. Even the Pharisees would come to Jesus. All kinds of men would come to Jesus. He would bring freedom, liberty. He does that. He's a savior. The Bible says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Amen. What a man. What a man. Hallelujah. See, just 30 years old man. 30 years old. I am 36. Are you going to try to say, yeah? 30 years old man. 30 years old. Jesus Christ. And as 30 years old, you know, in the Jewish tradition, he has, you know, because he's a rabbi, that That means he had people he was teaching, disciples. And disciples were between the range of 15 to 17. The oldest among them, thereabout, is Peter. All of them 15, 16. I'm talking to you. You say, I'm still 18. I want to enjoy. See, this is what are you gonna try to say? They were under Jesus, learning from the rabbi. Jesus Christ was a youth. Are we together here? He was a youth teaching things that the old people will come and say, what are you saying? Amen. The Bible said they marvel at his doctrines, his teaching. It was not strange, actually. It was not really strange. Strange. 2 Corinthians 3, quickly. 2 Corinthians 3, are you there?
Yes, sir.
If you are there, say Jesus is Lord. Now, I want us to do something here. So we are looking at, we say our touch, the God of this world thing, the concept. Do we begin again to commend ourselves as need we? Some other epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendations from you. Look at it. So Paul is writing to the Corinthians. He said, you are our epistles written in our heart, known and read of all men. For as much as ye manifestly declare to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. So, not on tables of stones, but in the fleshy tables of heart, of the heart. Are you following, everybody?
Yes, sir.
Share and follow. Are you following?
Yes, sir.
So he's saying that, we have manifestly declared you as the epistles of Christ. He said, the epistle, because if it's a letter, the letter must be written, isn't it?
Yes,
he said, it's written by the Spirit of God. Amen. Say, I've got the Spirit of God in me. I can't hear you say, I have the Spirit of God in me. So it means that the Holy Spirit, okay, has written you as an epistle. So you are a living epistle. So it is the Holy Ghost at work in you. So look here. Listen up. In the Old Testament, when God spoke, the word of God found themselves on tables of what? Of stone. So on that is on Mount Sinai. Thou shalt not. Have you seen the movie, okay? You see the science fiction, okay? Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Okay? So they found themselves on tables of stones. So the stones and the instructions of God were outside of men. So Moses came, all right? While Moses came out of the 40 days, caught up in the spirit, people were already breaking the first law. Okay? So got angry and broke the stone. And the land opened, okay? And opened and swallowed 3,000 men. You remember the story?
Yes,
yeah, he came. You know, that was really a scary movie. Like a scary one. Like just imagine that, someone just, I just came out, from 40 days and 49, and with the stones and I just came, of course, not you, okay? You can't be because you're filled with the spirit, okay? And broke the stone and the land opened. Everyone would worship me from generation to generation. And that's why I also like the fact that Jesus even did not marry. Just imagine Jesus married and we are seeing his grandchildren till today. You know what I'm trying to say? Yeah. It's a wild, seriously. I mean, his grandchildren from generation to generation. I mean, physically, I'm talking about physically. So Moses had come from the mountain. If I went there again, I'm just summarizing the entire mountain experience. He had the glory on his face. He put a veil because when he came, the glory was shining that people could not even see him. So all the demonstrations that Moses did, don't forget, listen up. He broke the stones, right? The stones fell. The land, the ground opened and swallowed how many people?
3,000.
Yeah, you see? Let's keep reading. Look at it again. Uh-huh. Where did I stop? 3. He said, look at it. Follow now, please. Don't rush it. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but what? With the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stones, but in fleshy tables of the earth. So which one was the tables of stone, everybody?
The law.
Which one was the tables of stone?
The
so which one is written in the fleshy table of the heart? The Spirit. The Spirit of God is in me.
The Spirit of God
is living in me. So in other words, see, this is the intention of God. That is not to go out to find what is the will of God. Where is the will of God written? Now the will of God is now written in you. So it's installed in you. So I know what to do. I know what to do. I know how to do what I must do by the Spirit of God in the name of Jesus. That's why the Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. You could see, this is it. He could have said, well, follow the law. You know the Bible said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. But that was in Old Testament. But in the New Testament, the way to life is actually by walking in the Spirit. Because therefore, as many as are led by the Spirit of God is in you. Is in you. Hallelujah. I don't care. See, I don't care if you have believed Jesus died for your sins. I don't care your level of understanding. Well, you know, the Spirit of God is resident in you. Is resident in you. I don't see whether you talk in tongues or you won't talk in tongues. The Spirit of God in you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Let's keep reading. Where did I stop? Verse 4. As such trust have we through Christ to God's word. Verse 5. Know that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who has made us able ministers of the New Testament. How many of you are ministers of the New Testament here? He said, no. Somebody said, no, it is that Lord I want to go to. That Old Testament concept. I like it. See. He said, he has made us able minister of what? See, by minister here, he's not talking about those that are called out a few Sundays ago. Like, oh, these are, you know, ministers of the... No, it includes you. You are a minister of what? Let's keep reading. What does he say again? He said, made us ministers of the New Testament, not of letter, but of the Spirit. So what is the letter here? The law. He said, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit does what? Hey, listen, somebody say, you know, the Bible says the letter kills and spirit give life. So they are pointing to the Bible. So, no, you cannot just quote it like that. You know, John is saying it's not like that because there's spirit in it. There's spirit in it. I agree, there's spirit. But the letter says the letter killed, but that the Bible does not kill. It's not saying the letter like Bible. Okay? Of course, the time was writing this. Okay? They had not even compiled the book. Okay? But just by the way. So the letter kills. So the letter that they had was the law. Yes. Amen. Which was engraved in stones. But the Spirit, remember, it's not simple. Remember, see, this is not even, it's not far-fetched. It came from Mount Sinai, broke the stone, it opened and killed people. The same happened when they received the Holy Spirit in Acts 2. When they received the Holy Spirit, how many people got saved? 3,000. Or beyond. But the Bible said 3,000. So the Spirit came, 3,000 came to Christ, received life from death. But the law came, out of the anger of the person who is bringing it, broke it down. The ground opened, killed 3,000. It's simple. Amen. The law comes with full force. Okay, let's keep reading. Are we together? Yes. Now, but if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stone, so you see now, you see that we are still talking about what? He said, but if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stone, was glorious, so much more the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away with. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, what is the ministration of condemnation, everybody? It's as simple as that. It's the law. He said, much more, does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory? Verse 10. For even that which was glorious had no glory in this respect. So by the time, because we are talking, as we talk about the Spirit, the other one, if I does not even have glory. Okay, let's keep reading. Where did I stop? 12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Not as Moses, which put a whoop. Well, I have to calm down. Amen. Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the hand of that which is what? What does it mean to abolish? It means to cancel. So he said, Moses put a veil over his face. Because people could not see his countenance. Okay, they could not behold it. So he said, even to this day, isn't, look at it, let's keep reading because of time. Why did I stop? Now, so 14 said, but their minds were what? So hardened, blinded. So look at it. So what is blinding their mind? We are reading the same context here. So he said, so Moses came, he said, there's ministration of death. Moses, there's a veil of Moses. People, he said, their minds are blinded. Let's keep reading. He said, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when he shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken. Now the Lord is a spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So, behold, so look everybody. So, if you read from this chapter 3, they are talking about two glory. What is the first glory? The glory of the law, of the letter, which is the ministration of death. The second glory is the glory of the spirit, ministration of righteousness, ministration of life. So two glory. So let's keep it. Now says, verse 18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in the glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. Maybe you need to catch this. So he's not saying we're going from glory to glory to glory to glory. No. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying there's one glory, is the glory of the law. So this glory of the law blinds the mind. Even unto this day, in the reading of the law, it blinds the mind. It blinds the mind. It's blind the mind. Because Moses, when he came down, he had a veil. That veil is spiritual. Even to this day, in the reading of the Old Testament, in the reading of Moses, the veil is their mind, is in their heart. You know, their minds are blinded by what? The letter kills. Ministration of condemnation. The law. Amen. So, which has glory? But this glory, when you talk about this glory, okay, when we talk about the glory of the Spirit, this glory is not glory in this respect. So he now said, but now, if we turn to the Lord, by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of liberty, we move from this glory to endure this glory, which is the ministration of the Spirit, the ministration of righteousness, the ministration of life. Huh? Did you get something? So we are moving from glory to, you know, so say, oh, we move from glory to glory, from glory to glory, from glory to glory. Hallelujah. No, we move from glory to glory. I'm moving from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. We behold as in a glass with open face, you know, and we are changed as we see the Lord. We move from glory to glory. Now, look at it. Let's keep reading. I love the Lord. Now, so now, listen up, everybody. Don't forget, he says, we are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who has made us. He didn't say, who will make you? So if you say, oh, Father, please make me minister of the New Testament. No, you are not doing it in faith. In faith, you agree with what God has done. He said, who has made us an able minister of the New Testament? Say, I am made. Able minister of the New Testament. I can't hear you. Say, I am made. I have a word for someone here. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are not condemned. Every spirit of condemnation, all the words that have been said to you to put you down, to bring you down, and demons are running with those words, I clear those words out in the name of Jesus. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You arise and fight. For the victory is yours. The victory is yours. The Spirit of the Lord is at work in you. Arise and rule. Rule and reign. Run and not grow weary. 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 The Spirit of God is at work in you. He's supplying strength to you. He's giving you life. He's ceaselessly supplying spirit to you. Life to you. There is therefore now no condemnation to you because you are in Christ Jesus. You have passed from death to life. life. You have passed. You will not pass. You have passed from death to life. Don't let those words stick to you. Don't let those junk stick to you, because you are more than a conqueror. You have moved by the Spirit of God from glory to glory. And now you are in the image of God by the Spirit of the Almighty God. It's a word to someone here. Be free. He said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. How can you, how dare you feel condemned? Or how dare the devil make you feel condemned? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom of expression. Freedom of expression. The Spirit of the Lord is there. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Not condemnation, not death, but liberty. They receive the outpouring of the Spirit in Act 2. They receive the Spirit of God. They started speaking in tongues. There was freedom. Nothing was holding them down. No one was saying, hey, look at him. He's speaking. Nobody. Everybody was moving by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. You are more than a conqueror. The greater one lives in you. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. The greater one lives in me. I am more than a conqueror. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. We did not stop there. So look at that. So what have we received? We have received the ministry of the New Testament. The ministry of the Spirit. The ministry of righteousness. So look at what it says in verse 4. Verse 4 now says, therefore. Chapter 4. Yes, thank you. Chapter 4. It said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. What ministry? The ministry of the New Testament, which is the ministry of the Spirit, which is the ministry of righteousness, which is the ministry of life. It's the same thing. So he said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we have received mercy. We are not even trying to find mercy, but we have received mercy. Said, oh, Lord, show me your mercy. Hey, oh, show me your mercy today, Lord. Hey, Father, he said, seeing that we have this ministry, we have received mercy. Hallelujah. I have received mercy. I have received mercy. Hallelujah. I don't care about you. You've got to say it over your life. I have received mercy. Do you know what happened? The Bible says that let your communication of faith be effectual when you acknowledge what God has done for you. There's a power in acknowledging. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Unbelief takes you out of acknowledging. Because when you don't acknowledge, you are living in unbelief. And unbelief is a sin. So we acknowledge, I've received mercy. I have obtained mercy. So when somebody says, how is it that things are working for you like this? He says, it's the mercy of God. Hallelujah, I've obtained mercy. And you have to be braggadocious about it. You have to brag. See, it is not humility. He said, no, I've not received mercy. No, I don't have the Spirit of life. No, I've not received. The Bible says it is true that we are ministers of the New Testament. But it now says, but our sufficiency is not of us. It's of God. He made me so. Hallelujah. So the focus is on him. So it's not as if you are just, your brag is on him. The Bible says, let anyone that boasts, let him boast in this. He boasts that he knows God. Your boast is in the Lord. Hallelujah. You are no flesh is going to glory in his presence. See, let me tell you something. When the time you say, no, I'm not righteous. I'm not righteous. Don't say I'm righteous. What you are doing is that's flesh. That's flesh. That's flesh. That's flesh. But when you say, when you tell me that, are you righteous? Yes, I'm righteous. I'm the righteousness of God. How do you know you are righteous? Christ made me righteous. He made me righteous. Our boast is in the Lord. Hallelujah. We are braggadocious in God. Glory to God. Say, I am the righteousness of God. He said, therefore, seeing that we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faith not. We faith not. I told somebody one time, that was 15 years ago. I said, okay, I think now, because I'm pastoring, okay, I understand some things. But then, until now, I said this. I said, I don't backslide. Amen. Okay. Now, that may seem an absolute statement, okay, but I don't backslide. I mean, I don't know how to backslide. Amen. Now, but initially I used to say those things. But when I started pastoring, and I see that there are the concept of backsliding, some Christians are actually experiencing it. Mm-hmm. Ha. So what we do is that we try to help them to receive their ministry. Mm-hmm. Those
still backslide, but they've not received the ministry. He said, if you have received the ministry, we faint not, because we have received mercy. Yes. So we don't faint. The Bible says he's able to keep you from falling. Yes, sir. Our focus is on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's your focus. You don't backslide. You should not be backsliding. Amen. Except ignorance make you so. Ah, we have not even started the message, yo. Jesus, to be honest with you, we've not even started at all, and we're already rounding up. But we round up. Amen. But look at it. Look at what it says there. It says, we have received mercy, we fear not. But what? But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. No walking in craftiness. No. We will not be crafty. Who knows? He said, but not handling the word of truth deceitfully, but by what? By manifesting the truth, we commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He now says, but if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. So that's why I was saying that, because if you're looking from the other chapter we have been reading from, the one that blinds their hearts was the law. Okay? So, but this is it. So when we say the God of this world, so we're talking about this system. Okay, but it is also true that the God of this world, which is Satan, okay, has blinded the heart of many that believe not. So it's also valid. Amen. Are we together here? So look at it. Colossians, I'll round up with Colossians. Ah, we're supposed to look at how to block the fiery darts of the enemy, but we're not looking at that today. Jesus Christ. I thought I would just end the series today. Colossians, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Colossians 2. Hey, amen. I love the Lord. Colossians 2:10. Look at Colossians 2:10. Colossians 2:10. He says, "Well, you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principalities and power." Amen. Now look at that. Follow. He said, "You are." He said, "You will be." Amen. You know them say, "Ah, Lord, I'm looking for my better half. Complete me, Lord." Amen. There's a concept that some of us say, you know, say, ah, Lord, hey, you know, I have better half. Somebody is better half. Me, I am other half. Amen. It means that Paul was not complete. Those who have vowed celibacy for the gospel means they are not complete. This is it. It is two complete persons in Christ, Jesus, that are marrying. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 + 1 = 1. In this concept, it's not 0.5 plus 0.5. It's 1 plus 1 becoming solid 1. You can try to say, yeah. It's not like, oh, so there are, no, you know, I'm half. So, and that thing is also affecting many people. So, for example, your spouse, let me use an example, your spouse speaks better English. You don't speak better English, so no. So, you find completeness, thank God. So, this is what many people are looking for. They're looking for their insufficiency in another. So, I need to find someone that has what I don't have. So that both of us, it doesn't work. So for example, so this is how you do it. This is how it makes it work. It may take time, but even if you find a deficiency in your, physical deficiency in your partner, you ensure that your partner with patience will come into to have what you have. Yeah. Are you trying to say? So if you speak English and your partner does not speak English, you teach your partner how to speak English. So as you teach your partner, at the end of maybe 1-2 years, your partner is now speaking good English. You, both of you are speaking good English. So stop looking at, conforming to the concept of laziness. And no, I'll find my completeness in another person. Our completeness is in Christ. Are you going to try to say, you can be whole, you can learn, you can grow. It's not that, I don't know how to handle money. My partner knows how to handle money. So when it comes to matter, he or she handles money. No, let your partner teach you how to handle money. So after 2 years, both of you, or 1 year, or a certain season, both of you will know how to handle money. Are you I'm trying to say? Yeah. Peradventure, you are not even in relationship, and okay, maybe let's say, as things go on, the relationship does not even work. At the end of the day, you thank God, Father, I thank you, because I entered that relationship not knowing how to handle money. But after we have broken up, I now know how to handle money. Are you addressed? Not that you enter a relationship, you're either empty or better still, nothing. And by the time you break up, and you look back, the only thing, what did I even learn in that relationship? Nothing. You are in a relationship with somebody who knows how to make money. And you say, no, let me make money. He makes money, I spend money. No. Listen, how are you making money? I want to know how to make money. Okay, I'm learning. So you learn how to make money. If it takes you 2 years, you learn how to make money. You study it. You learn it. Hey, at the end, let's say, I'm not saying that, you know, let's say peradventure, things did not work out the way you thought it would work out. Okay, and there was a break. Okay, probably because it's ASAS. Okay, both of you are ASAS. I said, we did not consider this in the beginning. Okay, but at the end of it, because emotional attachment, you feel heartbroken. Say, I thank God. I entered this relationship not knowing how to make money, but now I make my own money. Then, are you going to try and say yeah? Are you? So that's some, okay. Oh. Yeah, Colossians, I'll round up. Colossians. Praise God. Are you there? So our completeness, Colossians 2:10, what does it say? It says, for you are complete in him, who is the head of all principalities and power. Amen. The Holy Ghost completes you. He is our comforter, our paracleto, our standby. He makes us whole. Amen. It is the Holy Ghost. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? All right, look, let's continue. You know, some people also say that, well, I don't know how to speak. My other partner is a good, he knows how to speak. So I'll let him speak. Why I keep quiet? No, learn how to speak. It may take you time, okay? I'm not saying that it will be, okay, like a switch. It may take you time, but learn. Let us go. That's the way even you supply, vitality to your relationship. It's not like both of you are just there, like zombies. No. You supply vitality to the relationship. You are bringing something on the table. The person is bringing something on the table. I'm the table. No, I'm not talking about you at the table. Okay. Because as I said that, I'm the table. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm just saying that all of us, okay, we are doing things together. So, are you going to try to say yeah? You know, let me tell you this, because that's a temptation that's very real. People don't know. People, listen up. People gravitate, whether you like it or not, people gravitate towards where they're getting vitality. So if you think, for example, someone else is coming who is deficient and getting vitality from your partner, which you should be getting, your partner is gravitating towards that other person. You are wondering what is happening. Amen. Well, you of course... Oh, don't worry, let's go there. We are not supposed to go here today. So we'll go. Look at it. Okay, look at it. He said, verse 11, in whom also you are circumcised with circumcision, made with that hand in putting over the body of his... Verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, at he quickened, remember we have touched this, remember? At he quickened what? Together with him, all right? Where did I stop again? Now, verse 14. Blotting out. So, what he did when he rose, when he died on the cross, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Which was, you know, I told us this, people used to, I used to pray that. Well, brethren, Colossians 2:14. Blotting out every handwriting of ordinances against us. Let us pray. Every handwriting of ordinances against us. Oh, we'll blot them out. See, listen. Yeah? This is not hard. Wait. He said, blotting out what he did on the cross was, he blotting out every handwriting of the ordinances that were against us. What is the handwriting of the ordinances? The law. The law is the ordinances. So he's saying on the cross, he blot it out. So he's not talking about some demonic injunction. maybe village people, they're trying to write something. They're not writing. The concept here, are we together, everybody? The ordinances that were written. Amen. Let me read Amplified Version. I'll round up. Forgive me. So look at the Amplified Version. It says, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of legal demands which were enforced against us and which were hostile to us, and this certificate he has set aside completely, removing it by nailing it to his cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, did you see that? So, having spoiled principalities and power, he made a public example of them, triumphing over them through the cross. Therefore, let no man judge you in meat or in drink or in respect to holiday of new moon or Sabbath day, which are shadows of things to come, but the body of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding in those things which he has not seen. vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, not holding the head which is, which all the body by joint and band nourishly. Because of our time. Chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things below. All right, because of time, we close it today. Amen. Did you get something today?
Yes, sir.
Amen. So the accuser is being pushed out. Glory to God. Jesus pushed out the accuser. Amen. He said, we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. Hey, listen up, listen up. I think we told us that. Amen. And I said, oh, brethren. The Bible says we overcame by the word of our blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. Yesterday, I was coming. The car had an accident. And I came out. Oh, my brother, I want to thank you. That's my testimony. No, listen, everybody. That is not testimony that overcame the devil. No. That's not the testimony the Bible is talking about. Listen up, everybody. That is not the testimony the Bible is talking about. He said we overcame by the word, by the blood of the Lamb, and the words of our testimony. What is our testimony? The testimony that Jesus died, and God rose him up. That the Bible says we testify that God rose him from the dead. That is our testimony. So how do you overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and the words of your testimony. What is my testimony? Jesus died for my sin. Rose again on the third day. He's exalted far above principalities and power. That I overcame the devils, Satan, accuser, old dragon, law, all of them, by the blood of the Lamb and the words of my testimony. So what we get when we, you know, we sleep and wake up, you apply for something and you get, those are the proof, okay? The proof of your testimony. But it's understandable when we say it is our testimony, okay? It's understandable. But it's the proof of the main testimony is that Jesus died and God rose him up. Can I get a witness in the house? Hallelujah. Bow your heads and talk to God. Talk to him. Thank him for the testimony. Thank him for the testimony, for the victory, for the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of the New Testament, for the ministry of life, for salvation. Jesus, his love is unfailing. His love is unending. His love secures. His love is everlasting. We have received mercy. The Bible says God is rich in mercy. He's rich in mercy. We have received mercy. We are such. We are the ones that have obtained mercy. He's our God. The power of Jesus brings salvation, brings deliverance, brings liberation. Even right now, as we're praying, the Spirit of God is setting some free again. He's setting some loose free in the name of Jesus. Some of you feel a pop in your spirit. A pop in your spirit. You feel clarity in your spirit. Some of you are feeling you can perceive liberty, freedom. Some of you can feel the love of God. You can feel the compassion of the Spirit. You can feel it already. It is the Spirit of Jesus. His love is everlasting. The Bible says it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. He said his compassion faileth not. It fails not. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. He has shed out his love. If I say he has poured his love in our heart. He's a loving Father. In him we hope. The salvation of Israel. In him we hope. Our salvation. Our maker. Our savior. Our redeemer. Our God, the all-powerful one. Jesus said, all powers in heaven and on earth is given unto me. That's what he said. All powers in heaven and on earth is given unto me. All powers in heaven and on earth is given unto me. The Bible said even death could not hold him. The grave could not hold him. The sting of death, he came out of the grave because of us. Set far above principalities and power. Set and seated at the right hand of the Father. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we bless your name. We ask that you establish us in this truth. In the name of Jesus. That will bring forth practical results from it. In the name of Jesus. With this, we'll be able to withstand every fiery dart of the enemy. In the name of Jesus. Every fiery dart of the enemy. The Bible says, I haven't done all to stand. He says, stand therefore in this. He said, above all, he said, put off the shield of faith. Where will you be able to stand against the fiery dart of the enemy? Thank you for your word. That this will use to stand against all the fiery dart of the enemy. In the name of Jesus. That none of us will fall short of this. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Celebrate Jesus.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed.